How do I run my major agitator ministry of Trump, our apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, our United States, South Down, Liberty Hill, Texas? Today is February 6, 2017, our 8/10/2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Pass Thee Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on earth is thou tarrying? Fear not, pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is thou calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find the sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep confession, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is thou calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, when I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is thou calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than love to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our elders are calling, do not pass me by. Worship the Yahweh and the beauty of holiness. This is the name of our subject today. We're going to turn to First Chronicles chapter. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's start with the first verse. It says, And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of Yahweh, and pitched for it a tent. And David said, None ought to carry the ark of Yahweh but the Levites, for them hath the Yahweh chosen to carry the ark of the Yahweh and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Yahweh unto his place which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief and his brethren, and 120. Of the sons of Merari, Asaiah, the chief and his brethren, 220. Of the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief and his brethren, 130. Of the sons of Elasaphan, Shimei, the chief and his brethren, 200. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel, the chief, and his brethren, 80 people. Of the sons of Uzziel, Amminadab, the chief, and his brethren, and 112. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Abinadab. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Yahweh Elohim of the Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, Yahweh or Elohim made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Yahweh Elohim of the Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of Yahweh upon their shoulders with the staves of their own, as Moses commanded according to the word of Yahweh. And David spake unto the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with the instruments of the music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with the joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushaiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaziel, and Shemiramoth, Shemiramoth, and Jael, and Uni, Eliab, and Benaniah, and Messiah, and Mithanatah, and Eliphah, and Micniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael the porters. So the singers, Heman, and Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with the cymbals of brass. So you had singers as part of this congregation, of this holy congregation. And Zechariah, and Azael, and Shemiramoth, and Jael, and Uni, and Eliab, and Messiah, and Benaniah with the palsies on the Alamoth, and Mattanata, and Eliapheth, and Machaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, and Azaziah with the harps on the Sheminith to excel. And Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nathaniel and Amasiah and Zechariah and Benaniah and Eliezer the priest did blow with the trumpets before the ark of Yahweh, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when Yahweh helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh with the shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with the trumpets, and with the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh came unto the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing and she despised him in her heart. Okay, that's end of chapter 15, First Chronicles. Let's go now into chapter 16. So they brought the ark of Yahweh and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Yahweh. And when David had made an end of the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Yahweh. Okay, and it wasn't Lord God and Jesus, because those titles and words had not been invented. They were not in the Hebrew vocabulary. And he dealt with unto every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of Yahweh, and to record and to thank and praise the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemamoth, and Jahiel, and Mathaniah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbal. Benaniah also, and Jahaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh. Now we're going to go into David's Psalm of the Thanksgiving, verse 7, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Yahweh and to the hand of the Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Yahweh. Now, it talks about his holy name here, which is Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Elohim. Okay, seek the Yahweh and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. See, now who are we? Are the seed of Jacob, his chosen ones. We are the lineage of the royal house of the David today. We are genetically and genealogically bloodline connected to the house of David, the royal house of David today. Verse 14, 1 Chronicles 16. He is the Yahweh or Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the words which he commanded unto a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of the Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Yahweh, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Yahweh, and great is to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. All gods. Now, let's talk about these Baal gods. Gods is only title for these here false gods that people have set up in their hearts, like Baal. For all the gods of the people are idols, that Yahweh made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence, and strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto Yahweh, ye kindreds of the people, give unto Yahweh glory and strength. Give unto Yahweh the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it may not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Yahweh reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Yahweh, because He cometh to judge the earth. Okay. So now, who is this coming? This is actually Yahshua. And He is the taking the Father's place. He's the Father's representative here on this earth. The Father has appointed Him such. So He says, then shall the trees of the woods sing. What does that mean? Tree stands for ministers. The head of the purified congregation of the Israel, out of the presence, they were saying out at the presence of the Yahshua, because He cometh to judge the earth. Okay, you can go to Matthew 25, 31, 32, and you can see where He comes to judge the earth. There in Leviticus 19:4, it also gives us a cross reference on that coming to judge the earth. We might look at that a minute. Leviticus 19:4 says, turn ye not unto idols, nor make unto yourselves molten gods. I am the Yahweh your Elohim. Okay. Now it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It says, verse 33, then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Yahshua, because He cometh to judge the earth. Well, not only that, but it says the Lord here, to be talking about the Father as well. The Father and the Son comes together when they come to judgment. So really, this is the Father coming with the Son to the earth to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Yahweh, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O Yahweh, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. Blessed be the Yahweh Elohim of Israel forever and ever, and all the people said, Amen, and praise the Yahweh. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Yahweh, Aesop, and his brethren to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. Okay, so now, what is the every day's work required then, when you have the ark set up in a tabernacle? What is the work required? You have to meet the people at the third hour in the morning, that comes for the sacred hour for worship. Especially if it's a sinner. Somebody has committed a sin, he has to bring an animal sacrifice. So that's what it was for. And then at the ninth hour, which is also the sacred hour in the afternoon, people had to come in and do that. So it says, and Obed-Edom with their brethren 78. Obed-Edom also the son of Jehuthan and Hosah to be porters. So David set up the sanctuary system there in a tent. But that didn't long please David. Okay, it says that was to offer burnt offerings. So and Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest before the tabernacle of Yahweh and the high place that was at Gibeon to offer burnt offerings. unto Yahweh upon the altar of the burnt offerings continually, morning and evening. There you are. There's your third hour in the morning and the ninth hour in the evening, sacred hours of the day, and to do according unto all that is written in the law of Yahweh, which he commanded Israel. And with them, Haman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks unto Yahweh, because his mercy endureth forever. And with them, Haman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should sound, make a sound, and with the musical instruments of Yahweh, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people departed every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Okay, that ends chapter 16. Let's go right on into 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now it came to pass, as the David sat in his house, that David said unto Nathan the prophet, Do I dwell in a house of cedars? But the ark of the covenant of Yahweh remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for Yahweh is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of Yahweh came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, thus saith Yahweh, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. They have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith Yahshua of the host, this is Yahshua the son talking, I took thee from the sheep coat. Well, actually, it's probably the father. He's also the translator's term is the Lord of hosts. He is also the Yahweh of the hosts. I took thee from the sheep coat, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Yahweh will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will take my mercy away from him, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee, but I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, did Nathan speak unto the David. And David the king came and sat before the Yahweh, and said, Who am I? So where was Yahweh at when David come and sat before him? He was represented in that ark of the covenant inside of that tent that David had prepared for the ark. That's where the presence of Yahweh was, and that's where David went. And David the king came and sat before the Yahweh and said, Who am I, O Yahweh, Elohim? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Yahweh, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according unto the estate of a man of the high degree, O Yahweh Elohim. What can David speak more unto thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant, O Yahweh, for thy servant's sake, and according unto thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness, in making known all these great things. O Yahweh, there is none like unto thee. Neither is there any Yahweh beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Now here's David telling Yahweh. Now, if he's speaking to the Son, it's still the same thing. If David, and I suspect he could very well be speaking to Yahshua here. And he's saying to Yahshua, there is none like thee. God. They got the translators put God here. But David was referring to a God of this world. That people have made gods out of Baal and so forth. There is neither any God that has been invented on this world that's beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom Yahweh went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of the greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Yahweh, becamest their Elohim. Therefore now, Yahweh, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever. This is Yahweh, Elohim, Yahshua, the Son's name. For the Yahweh of the host is the King of Israel. Here's the God of Israel. Okay, so now we're going to have to go back to this Lord of hosts. And I said it's to apply to the Father. We're going to have it applying to the Son. Because he has placed his Son over this world, the congregation of the house of Israel. Once he established Israel, he placed his Son over it. Because his Son is what led him out of Egypt in that cloud. So let's do that. We're gonna have to do this. Because this is a verse here in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 24. Let it be even be established that thy name, Yahshua, may be magnified forever, saying, for the Yahshua of the host is the King of Israel. And I know that in many places it talks about Yahshua being the King of Israel. Even a God, they call it the pagan title of God here, unto Israel, even a ruler unto Israel, even a sovereign deity unto Israel. Yahweh has made you, his son, Yahshua, a Yahweh over Israel, when he established you as king over Israel. Now we go to Luke 1:31 and 32, 33, and it confirms this. It says that verse 31, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yahshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay. Now I know why the translators use this here, Lord God. These two different titles for Baal. Lord means Yahweh, and God means Elohim. So Yahweh has more than one name, identity. He has Yahweh, he has Eliah, he has Eliyahu, E-L-I-Y-A-H-U. So this is what it's talking about. The Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him, his son, Yahshua, the throne of his father David. So, when David set up that Ark of the Covenant, Yahweh the Father is represented as dwelling under the Shekinah there in the mercy seat, for the mercy seat added in that Ark. The Father's presence is definitely there, and the Son's presence is definitely there. Okay. Okay, since we're talking about Yahshua, let's read that verse 24 again on 1 Chronicles chapter 17. It says, "Let it even be established that thy name, Yahshua, may be magnified forever, saying, Yahshua of the host is the Yahshua of Israel." Why don't we just go ahead and call this here God? Let's just go ahead and put Yahshua's name there as well. Yahshua of Israel, or let's just put it King of Israel, since they were using the translator was using the pagan title God, and since Yahshua we know is ordained to be the King of Israel. Okay. So when he met David, when Yahshua met David, David recognized him as the King of Israel. Back then. Well, it says that when Yahshua was created by the Father, he was created as a prophet, priest, and king. That was his ensuing titles that he inherited, that the Father gave him, prophet, priest, and king. Those three titles. Saying Yahshua of the host is the King of Israel, even a deity unto Israel. He's also not only a king of Israel, but he's also a deity. In other words, he has a title of the Father. He is Yahweh of the unto the Israel. Now, what did Yahweh tell Moses back here in Exodus chapter 7? What did he say? He says, verse 1, "And the Yahweh said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a deity, or a ruler, or king, unto Pharaoh. I have made you definitely a prophet unto Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." See, he said, "I have made you Yahweh. I have made you a Yahweh. I am the Yahweh, the Father in heaven, but I have made you a Yahweh. Not a God, I've made you a Yahweh." Alright? Now, what did he say there in Zechariah? Okay, now it says in Zechariah, Zechariah 12:8, it says, "In that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants," no, Yahshua, this is talking about the Son, "shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh." As the Father, the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahshua before them. Now Yahshua is talked about here in Zechariah 3 as an angel before Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Well, here it is. It says the house of David is as the angel of the Yahweh. This Yahshua in Zechariah 3 was made the angel. It says, Zechariah 3, it says in verse 6, and the angel of the Yahweh protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Yahweh, Yahshua of the host, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my course, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Alright, now what is a branch here? The branch is all capital letters, and that's another name for Yahshua. So Yahshua is also called a servant of Yahweh, of the Father. He has that title, or that name, branch, B-R-A-N-C-H. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Alright. So we have Jeremiah 23. We have in Jeremiah 23. It talks about a branch here. Verse 5, it says, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Okay, now here's something. Here's a congregation of people that have been made righteous by their obedience to the sanctuary service, and they are identified later on as the 144,000. So this is a righteous branch that's going to be raised up unto the house of David here in the last days. It says, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now here's that branch, but it's upper and lower case spelled branch. So that branch there stands for, first and foremost, the prophet that's in charge of this here congregation of the 144,000 that's called the righteous branch. Okay? So I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king. A king, not the king, but a king. So this would be the antitypical David that he's raised up in the spirit and power of the Elijah these last days. That is this a king. And he shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Okay, that's Jeremiah 23, verse 5. In his days, and we're in the days of this antitypical David right now. We have been in the days of this antitypical David since 1970. But more notably, since 2002. In his days, Judah shall be saved. So the days of his antitypical David came in 2002, because that's when Yahshua moved to save the house of Judah. Okay. Shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Yahshua or righteousness. Now this a king had a righteous branch raised up unto him, this antitypical David. And then he inherits the name, the Yahshua, or righteousness, because he executed judgment and justice and righteousness in the house of Israel. Okay. So it says, therefore, in verse 7, Jeremiah 23, verse 7, therefore, behold, the day has come, saith the Yahweh, that they shall no more say, the Yahweh liveth, which brought, or the Yahweh, let's do that again. Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Yahshua, this is the Son, that they shall no more say the Yahshua liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I know the Father and the Son collaborated for bringing the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt with Moses and Aaron. I know that. But it was Yahshua that was in that cloud that directed children of Israel by the day, because it says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, by Paul. It says Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that they followed. Okay? But it says in Jeremiah 23:8, but the Yahweh liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Okay, now, it says in Jeremiah 33, after getting to the land, Jeremiah, he's looking further on down with inspiration. And here in verse 13, Jeremiah 33, verse 13, in the cities of the mountains, and the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that retelleth them, saith Yahweh. The branch of righteousness, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of the righteousness to grow up unto David. Now this branch of righteousness is 144,000. Okay, now Yahweh had a branch that came out of David in 1970 with Brother Johnson at the head of that branch. But it wasn't called the branch of righteousness. It was called the Isaac branch. David, Brother Johnson represented the birth of the branch movement, I'm going to call it a movement, for the branch to be introduced as the Isaac branch message, but it wasn't called a branch of righteousness. It wasn't called a branch of righteousness until it moved on to the purified stage, and that would be when the Gilead Center came to a close with the Isaac branch message. And it advanced into the branch of righteousness, with the house of David taken over from the house of Esau that was in charge of the Isaac branch message from 1970 to 2003 with Wallace W. Johnson. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yeshua, or righteousness. For thus saith the Yahweh, or thus saith the Yahshua, this is the Son. He's taking charge of this kingdom of David here in the 12th parabolic hour, 2002. And so this is Yahshua speaking. Thus saith the Yahshua, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of the Israel. In other words, he will never be without a bloodline descendant of his dynasty, of the house of David, to sit upon the throne of Israel at the appointed time. Okay. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to be sacrificed continually. And the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and there shall not be day and night in their season, then it may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So Yahshua is a son of David. Say so. And in the scripture, Luke 1, 31, 32, 33, he is a son of David. I am a son of David. I am an antitypical son of David, representing the antitypical David. Yahshua was a son of David, but he wasn't an antitypical David. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Let's go to verse 25. For thou, O my Elohim, Yahweh, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. And when it talks about God here, when it says use that term God, it's talking really about Elohim, the Father. Hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. Okay, so now here's that servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Yahweh, and it shall be blessed forever. Okay, there it is. The house of David established forever. Set the tone there in three chapters. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, 16, and 17. Set the tone and laid the foundation for the house of David forever. Now, let's go to Prophets and Kings. And let's take up where we left off from our study. Pride of Prosperity, chapter 3, page 51. It says, while Solomon exalted the law of heaven, Yahweh was with him, and wisdom was given him to rule over Israel with impartiality and mercy. At first, a wealth and worldly honor came unto him. He remained humble, and great was the extent of his influence. Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. He had peace on all sides round about him, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. 1 Kings 4:21, 24 and 25. But after a morning of the great promise, his life was darkened by the apostasy. History records the melancholy fact that he who had been called Jedidiah, beloved of Yahweh, 2 Samuel 12:25 margin, he who had been honored by Yahweh with the tokens of the divine favor so remarkable that his wisdom and uprightness gained for him worldwide fame, he who had led others to ascribe honor unto Yahweh of the Israel turned from the worship of the Yahweh to bow before the idols of the heathen. Hundreds of years before Solomon came unto the throne, Yahweh foreseeing the perils that would beset those who might be chosen as rulers of the Israel, gave Moses instruction for their guidance. Directions were given that he who should sit on the throne of Israel should write him a copy of the statutes of the Yahweh and a book out of that which is before the priest the Levite. He shall be with him, the Yahweh said, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Yahweh his Elohim, to keep all the words of this law, and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments unto the right hand or to the left, unto the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17:18-20. In the connection with this instruction of the Yahweh, particularly caution the one who might be anointed king not to multiply wives for himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. With those warnings, or with these warnings, Solomon was familiar, and for a time he heeded them. His great desire was to live and rule in the accordance with the statutes given at the Sinai. His manner of conducting the affairs of the kingdom was in the striking contrast with the customs of the nations of his time. Nations who feared not Yahweh and whose rulers trampled underfoot his holy law and are seeking to strengthen his relations with the powerful kingdom aligned to the southward of Israel, Solomon ventured upon forbidden ground. Satan knew the results that would attend obedience. And during the earlier years of the Solomon's reign, years glorious because of the wisdom and the beneficence and the uprightness of the king, he sought to bring in influences that would insidiously undermine Solomon's loyalty to principle and cause him to separate from Yahweh, that the enemy was successful in this effort. We know from the record, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of the Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. 1 Kings 3:1. From a human point of the view, this marriage, though contrary to the teachings of Yahweh's law, seemed to prove a blessing, for Solomon's heathen wife was converted and united with him in the worship of the true Yahweh. Furthermore, Pharaoh rendered signal service to Israel by taking Gezer, slaying the Canaanites that dwelt in the city, and giving it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. 1 Kings 9:16. This city Solomon rebuilt, and thus apparently greatly strengthened his kingdom along the Mediterranean seacoast, but in forming an alliance with the heathen nation and sealing the compact by the marriage with an idolatrous princess, Solomon rashly disregarded the wise provision that Yahweh had made for maintaining the purity of his people. The hope that his Egyptian wife might be converted was but a feeble excuse for the sin. For a time, Yahweh, in his compassionate mercy, overruled this terrible mistake, and the king, by a wise course, could have checked, at least in a large measure, the evil forces that his imprudence had set in operation. But Solomon had begun to lose sight of the source of his power and glory. An inclination gained the ascendancy over reason. Self-confidence increased, and he sought to carry out the Yahweh's purpose in his own way. He reasoned that the political and commercial alliances with the surrounding nations would bring these nations to a knowledge of the true Elohim, and he entered into the unholy alliance with nation after nation. Often these alliances were sealed by their marriages with the heathen princes. The commands of Yahweh were set aside for the customs of the surrounding peoples. Solomon flattered himself that his wisdom and the power of his example would lead his wives from idolatry to the worship of the true Yahweh, and also that the alliances thus formed would draw the nations round about into the close touch with Israel. Plain hope, Solomon's mistake in regarding himself as strong enough to resist the influence of the heathen associates was fatal. And fatal, too, the deception that led him to hope that, notwithstanding a disregard of Yahweh's law on his part, others might be led to rever and obey his sacred precepts. The king's alliances and commercial relations with the heathen nations brought him renown, honor, and the riches of this world. He was enabled to bring gold from Ophir and silver from Tarshish in a great abundance, for the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. 2 Chronicles 1:15. Wealth, with all its attendant temptations, came in Solomon's day to an increasingly large number of the people, but the fine gold of character was dimmed and marred. So gradual was Solomon's apostasy that before he was aware of it, he had wandered far from the Yahweh. Almost imperceptibly, he began to trust less and less in the divine guidance and blessing, and to put confidence in his own strength. Little by little, he withheld from Yahweh that unswerving obedience which was to make Israel a peculiar people. and he conformed more and more closely to the customs of the surrounding nation, yielding unto the temptations incident to his success and his honored position. He forgot the source of his prosperity. An ambition to excel all other nations in power and grandeur led him to pervert for the selfish purposes the heavenly gifts hitherto employed for the glory of the Yahweh. For the money which should have been held in the sacred trust for the benefit of the worthy poor and for the extension of the principles of the holy living throughout the world was selfishly absorbed in the ambitious project. Engrossed in an overmastering desire to surpass other nations in outward display, the king overlooked the need of the acquiring beauty and perfection of the character and the seeking for the glorify himself before the world. He sold his honor and integrity. The enormous revenues acquired through commerce with many lands were supplemented by the heavy taxes. Thus pride, ambition, and prodigality and indulgence bore fruit in the cruelty and exaction. For the conscientious, considerate spirit that had marked his dealings with the people during the early part of his reign was now changed. From the wisest and most merciful of the rulers, he denigrated into a tyrant. Once the compassionate, Yahweh-fearing guardian of the people, he became oppressive and despotic. Well, that's what happened at Kermit, Texas. Brother Johnson started off in a noble way, and it began in 1970. But by the time his time was up, and 33 and a half years later, he became very oppressive and despotic. Tax after tax was levied upon the people. That means might be forthcoming to support the luxurious court. The people began to complain. The respect and administration they had once cherished for their king was changed into disaffection and abhorrence. This brings in verse 30. Our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close down this service with a song. King of the Universe by Elijah David.
Someday I shall go to that city when the sojourn here on earth is over, and behold, glory, and praise his name forevermore. Praise his name, King of the Universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call for daily mercies, forgiveness of sin. Alone, benefactor, emancipator of sin. Came to this earth as a redeemer of men. We walk by the wayside, a wayfarer's friend. He gave hope and salvation, he showed them the way, and promised to return on that great final day. There's a saint in the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call for daily mercies, forgiveness of sin. Alone, benefactor, emancipator, and friend. Oh, the beautiful city where there is no night, the streets of pure soul, the Lamb is the light. The walls are like jasper, a glorious sight. The saints are his trophies, all dressed in pure white. Praise his name, King of the Universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call for daily mercy. Uriah's children have found. And they won't be contented till heaven comes down.
This brings in verse 30. This hour contacts us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. I'm going to close this service now with a song that I've written entitled King of the Universe.
Someday I shall go to that city. My sojourn here on earth is old. And behold the King in his glory, and praise his name forevermore. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we call. For daily mercies, forgiveness of sin, our own benefactor, emancipator, and friend. He came to this earth as a redeemer of men. He walked by the wayside, a wayfarer's friend. He gave hope and salvation, he showed them the way. And promised to return on that great battle day. Oh, the beautiful city where there is no night. The streets are pure gold, the Lamb is the light. The walls are like jasper, a glorious sight. The saints are his trophies, all dressed in pure white. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon him we call. For daily mercies, forgiveness of sin, our lone benefactor, emancipator, and friend. So come, little children, lend me your ear. The hope for the future is fast drawing near. For the pathway to glory our children have found. And they won't be content till heaven comes down. Praise his name, King of the universe, ruler of all, highest in the heavens, upon whom we go. For daily mercies, forgiveness of sin.